Praise you, Lord. Well, I know you noticed we sang all Christmas songs. We got to get in the festive spirit, you know, of Jesus Christ coming upon the earth. Just these songs, a lot of them you don't hear, but this time of the year, you know, and that's it. But we know our God is alive and well. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah to the King. Amen. If you would stretch forth your hand towards me, please, as I ask you to pray for me. Father, Lord, I just thank you for your people. But Lord, I surrender my heart and my life unto you, that the preacher and the teacher would come out this day upon my life, Lord. Help us to understand your word and place it deep within our hearts this morning. We give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before him. Praise you, Lord. If you would say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, Thursday is Christmas, and we want to wish Jelaine and I, every one of you, a very Merry Christmas. I pray you have a great day. You might say, well, you know, I'm thinking about Christmas, and I'm thinking of maybe people I've lost throughout the year, and that's okay. Just so it doesn't damper your spirit, especially on that day. Think about God giving his son for us that we could have life and have it more abundantly. You know, thank God for your family. You know, you might say, well, you know, some of them I wish maybe I didn't have. We just thank God for all that he's given us. And we look forward to the great year of 2026, my Lord. But we do want to wish you a very Merry Christmas. I pray that it is a great day. You eat a lot of food. You open a lot of presents. You just have a great time in remembering that God gave his only son for humanity, my Lord, knowing the end result of his life upon the earth, what it would be. And still he gave it. And still Jesus came and died and did what he needed to do. So Merry Christmas to everyone. Thank you. Appreciate that. If someone would ask you, what is the meaning of Christmas? And I don't want you to respond, okay? But if someone came up to you and asked you, what is the meaning of Christmas? You know, some may say, here and wherever else, some may say, well, you know, we talk about maybe the gifts that we all get. And we all like gifts. Thank you, Lord. The gifts. Maybe we'd say maybe it's all our friends that and family that we get together. The fellowship that we would have with one another. And sometimes Christmas is the only time of the year that some families may get together. Could be. Maybe, you know, when Christmas come, you know, talking about Christmas, maybe some would say, well, it's about the trees that we decorate. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with it. Maybe it's all the decorations that are put in churches or in homes, and even all the decorations that we have on the outside of our homes to celebrate that day of our Savior being born. Nothing wrong with that. But if someone would ask you, what is the real meaning of Christmas? As a Christian, there's nothing wrong with all those other things. But as a Christian, we know what Christmas actually is. It is the birth of our Lord and Savior that came for us. His name is Jesus. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, Jesus just means Savior. It was the angel that named him, just like it was the angel that named John the Baptist. The angel named Jesus, meaning Savior, that he was Savior of the world. No matter if people accepted him or not, his position is set in stone. My Lord, your God is Savior, set in stone, and no one upon the earth and no one in the Godhead, the other two, can take him down. Because he is Savior of the world. My Lord, we have something to sing about. We have, you know, Christianity is the only one, and I've said this before, that has a songbook in the Word of God. The only ones. Because we have something to sing about. We have something to sing about that he is our Savior. He's come for us. He was born of humanity. He knows how it feels and what we go through. That's why he can have so much compassion for us and so much grace for us. Because he knows what it is to go through things in life. And to be shunned. When you think about what Christmas is really about, Christmas is the celebration of an important event in human history. Christmas is a significant time in history of humanity, and it's one that you and I can enjoy year after year after year after year, no matter what. He was born. You know, 4 weeks ago, we started talking about the events leading up to the birth of Christ, which is called Advent season, which is basic. Advent means just the coming. Okay? The coming of the first Advent is his birth upon the earth. And hey, let's get to the, we'll just point this out and we'll go on. Jesus was not actually born on December 25th. We know that. That's a hang up for a lot of Christians. Get over it. You know, I'm not trying to be mean. I want to be compassionate, but we need to get over that stuff. We need to yes, it was somebody else's birthday. We can't get into all that stuff. But it's a time that the world stops to realize that our Savior was born. And we all celebrate it, right? My Lord, in different ways, but some ways are common to all. Whatever it is, whatever you feel is right for your family, do those things. Unless the Holy Spirit tells you no. That's up to him. But to realize that Jesus came into the world, and it was prophesied many years ago by the prophet Micah, by Isaiah the prophet, and we know even by John the Baptist coming 6 months before to be the forerunner of what Jesus was coming. My Lord, God set things up for his son to be born. And have the world changed by the presence of the Savior of the world walking the streets of Jerusalem, walking the streets of Nazareth, walking the streets of Bethlehem. My Lord, can you imagine the Savior of the world coming into this world and leaving nothing behind, but saying, I will give my all for my people. And you know what? Coming in such a vulnerable state of a baby. You know, a baby can't, you know, everybody has held babies. Everybody, you know, has seen babies. Everybody knows about them. They can't protect themselves at all. You know, you see horses have little coats. Thank you. And within, 30 minutes or so, they're up and standing and walking. They might be wobbly, but they're going. It's an amazing thing. But with humanity, We can't feed ourselves when we're babies. We can't protect ourselves as babies. We can't do anything but cry, basically. And Jesus came as a vulnerable baby, but yet protected by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit, by the Godhead, God the Father and God the Holy Spirit protecting him upon this earth. I want you to turn to Micah chapter 5, page 1567, verse 2. It says this, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, whatever that is. And you might say, well, why did, you know, I thought it was just Bethlehem. Remember, in Israel or in Judea area in Israel, there was two villages that were called Bethlehem. So to distinguish the one where Jesus was born, they put the second name too. So we know that's it. Though you be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall he come forth unto me. Who is the real ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old and from everlasting? Though you be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall he come forth unto me, my Lord. Here we see this little village, reading on it, maybe had a couple of hundred people. That's all. Very small, huh? Very small. Couple hundred people at most. That's all. The only maybe place that might be a little smaller might be Wright. W-R-I-G-H-T. Probably a lot of you passed through it. You didn't notice. You didn't notice the upheaval they had when they took the sign down. Yes. Man, people got upset from there, but that's okay. They put it back up. What's that? Oh, I thought you said something. But Amy, they put it back up. But this was a very small place. God used a very small place to be the place where the Savior of the world would be born. You never know. Don't ever think that you just little old me and God can't do much. Don't think that way. But don't get on the other side and be very boastful and prideful where God has to humble you and I. But just because you might live in a small place, just because you think, well, you know, God's not around here, well, he can't use my life. Always remember, God used a little place called Bethlehem with very few people to bring the Savior into the world. And he had that in mind before the foundations of the world were even formed. Salvation had already, he knew that man would fall. He knew that things would happen like that. And he foreplanned Jesus to come and die upon Calvary's cross and him to be born in a place called Bethlehem. Jesus, God didn't just make it up whenever, you know, man fell in Genesis chapter 1. He had it all planned from the beginning of time. His mercy and his grace to be extended unto us till this day. Bethlehem, the birthplace of Christ. You know the other, you know who else was born there? King David. Ooh, people. King David. What man says is important and what God says is important sometimes is totally different. The way God sees things and the way man sees things are totally different at times. How can God use a little old place? You would think Jesus should have been born where? In Jerusalem. I mean, you would think that's the place, you know. The head of our government of America is in where? Washington, D.C. It was in a few other places before it finally got there. But it's, when you think of our government, you think of Washington, D.C. When you think of the birth of Christ, you would think Jerusalem. But God left Jerusalem out. Now, at the end, it's important. It's all important. But he brought the Savior of the world in an obscure place and time of Bethlehem. Let me tell you this. 2026 is coming about. He will not leave you on the outskirts of life. Oh, my Lord. God is going to move in your heart and life and in this church like we've never seen before. The power and the presence and the anointing, my Lord. You see, people need to sense and feel the presence of Almighty God. They need a sense that God is moving upon the earth. See, that's the older sister trying to take care of the younger brother. You saw she got up. I'm going to make sure he's okay. Jesus is our older brother. My Lord, it says. He sticks closer than a brother on the side of us. We don't have to worry about 2020. I know we kind of, that's next week, but we don't have to worry about it, people. You don't have to worry how you're going to pay this or pay that or do this or do that. When you're on the economy of what God gives and you do what God says, he'll take care of the church. He'll take care of the body of Christ. He'll take care of individuals because you are a child of Almighty God. My God, you can bank on it. He's going to take care of things. You don't have to worry. Don't let the devil make you worry about your children. Don't let him make you worry about your parents. Don't let him make you worry about your aunts and uncles and family and job. My God, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. He can supply. He can do what we can't do. All we have to do is constantly go before our God and hand them over and saying, Lord, take care of those things. He takes care of those things. Because you see, the devil wants to take you out. He wants to take your joy. He wants to take your peace. And what Jesus came, that we would have peace. Walk in the presence and the peace of God. Even though the storm may be rising up, maybe even in the midst of a storm, you let the peace of God sustain you. You let the presence of Almighty God sustain you in life. My God. You know, I'm telling you about Christmas, the joy, but I know there's a lot of people that don't have joy. They hate the Christmas season, not because of Jesus Christ, but because of what life has dealt them in life. And even though God had, maybe things have been dealt out to us that we don't like, we still can lean on our Savior and our Lord, and he can bring the peace and the joy to have a good Christmas, to enjoy the things of God. You see, that's giving him, casting upon him the cares of this world, my Lord. And that's what we want. He wants us to do. Turn to Luke chapter 2, please, which we just read, 1761. My Lord, my Lord. Luke chapter 2 started, just read verse 6. We're going to read over a few things. It says, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son. And wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. The most important delivery of a baby in human history. God would become flesh and thereby use his flesh, his human body, as a perfect sacrifice in order to deliver humanity, which he did. Joseph and Mary. The taxes from the Roman soldier or Caesar had come about, and they were being taxed, and they had to go to their homeland. Joseph had to go to his homeland. And so he had to go back to Bethlehem. They were in Nazareth. From Nazareth to Bethlehem was approximately 80 to 90 miles away from each other. They couldn't book a flight on an airplane and get on it and be there in 2 minutes, well, 10 minutes. They couldn't get in their cars and drive out there in an hour or so, hour and a half. Couldn't happen. It wouldn't happen. But Joseph and Mary had to go back there. Now they were married. They were betrothed before, and then he took her as his wife. Never to know her till after she had Jesus. And so they took on their journey to get to Bethlehem, which they say, especially Mary, you know, she was close to 9 months. I know we saw the movie. They had her riding on a donkey or a mule, whatever. They say the journey, walking and stuff, would have taken at least 4 days fast, a week slow. I'm saying a week, maybe even more than that, especially in her condition. You see, even though God may ask you to do something, he never said it'd be easy. Never. He just says, obey me. And he picks the ones that will trust him no matter what. No matter what life throws, that we will trust. Like Mary and Joseph trusted as the angel overshadowed her and she became pregnant and told her she'd have a son. And as the angel came back and spoke to Joseph in a dream, this is my beloved son. And so they journey to the place of Bethlehem. And they finally get there. Bethlehem. Like I said, was about 80 miles away. They get there. It says that as they get there, her days were accomplished that she should be delivered. That means she means that she went into labor. We don't know if it happened right when we got there in Bethlehem or, you know, it was whatever. As they got there, they were looking for a place. Joseph was looking for a place that the Savior could be born. The magnitude of what Joseph was going through. And I'm not Mary too. But the magnitude of what Joseph was going through. That my wife is carrying the Savior of the world. And let me tell you this. The Jews at that time studied the scriptures. They knew the Savior would be coming. They knew his best, but did it click? I don't know. Because a census was taken. God will use obscure things in our lives to bring about the main part of our life to obey him. Don't put away those things that God is trying to do in your heart and life. Don't put away those things. Let God use whatever he wants to do, to use and do in your life to accomplish the will of God in your life. Mary and Joseph's will for their lives was to bring the Savior into the world and to raise him up in the oracles of the Holy Word of God. That he would know, he had, he, you might say, well, he was God. He knew. Look, he still had to learn it. He still was tempted by the enemy. Just think, if Jesus would have failed in one area of his life and would have sinned, he would have not had been the perfect sacrifice. We would still be in the state that Adam and Eve were in, cut by sin, cut by the world's language, cut by the world itself, and not accomplishing what God wanted. But he came and was born. They got to Bethlehem. She was expecting, and she goes into labor. Look, he runs to the end. You know, that's just the, you know, the motel, if you want to put it that way. For the poorest of the poor, though. You know, the Ritz motel, that was for the, that's for the high class. But the little inn, you know, that you see little motels in those little cities and it's like something inn, you're thinking, You're thinking Roach Motel, you're thinking, oh Lord, you know, stuff like that. So he takes her down because she's in labor and he's going to take care of his wife. And let's say she did come on that donkey. I don't see how she could have walked all that. There's no way possible at 9 months. Not over the rocky hills and the rocks. There's no way. God took care of her and him. They got to Bethlehem. They walked into that city and she goes into labor. And Joseph is looking for a place that his wife could have the Savior of the world. He runs to the innkeeper. He knocks on the door of the innkeeper that controls all the rooms there. And you have to remember, there was a census being taken. There might have been just a few hundred that lived there at the time, but there were probably thousands there at that time. Because they all came in who was alive that had to pay their taxes and they all had to stay there X amount of time. My Lord. And so he goes to the innkeeper and he knocks on the door. And there's nothing. And he runs to all the other houses, knocks on the doors, saying, my wife is in labor. I need a place for her. Not one single person came out to offer help for her. If they would have known it's the Savior of the world, don't you think they all would have opened up their doors and said, let my room be the place of blessing, that the Savior of the world is coming into this world? But they kept their doors shut and would not open their houses, which, you know, you kind of, you know, I'm sure they have crime just like we had crime. Well, that's another thing God had to protect them from. Thieves that tried to steal their money. Thieves that tried to take their property. But God did it. Remember this. We might live in a day and age where horrible things may be happening and things are being taken care of. But let me tell you this. God can take care of his people. God can take care of his people. In whatever circumstances that we go through, God can take care of us and help us and be with us and comfort us and help us. My God, what a God we serve. And as no one opened their houses or their rooms to the Savior of the world being born, the innkeeper comes and says, all I have is this cave type thing. There's a bunch of animals in there because you see all these people that came from Nazareth and all these other cities that have to come to Bethlehem to pay their taxes. Their animals are, some of them are in there, a whole bunch of animals. Cows, sheep, and all that stuff. He said, that's all I have. And he takes his wife and runs to that place, taking care of her, and gets into that cave, basically, if you want to say it that way. a place, a manger, where animals were. You know, we see animals here, camels, whatever other stuff was in there, all kinds of stuff. Smelled horrible. How many people have farms? Oh, Lord, Susan, yeah, a few others. It just smells, huh? Smells. You put them far from the house. But Joseph runs in with his wife, and he lays her, you know, not on Serta mattress or anything like that, but she's laid on some hay to produce the Savior of the world. And then finally has this child. In the midst of the smell, in the midst of dirtiness, filthiness, the Holy Spirit comes into that manger. Oh, my God, people. The price our God paid. And the Savior of the world comes forth. Born of humanity. Emmanuel, God with us. My Lord. Giving us liberty and freedom because of what God was doing through his son. That cave, if you want to say, or manger, was the most blessed place on the earth. You had Caesar that was in his mansion that had everything he wanted to eat. And the luxuries of life up to that date. Kings and priests all over the place. But the most anointed place was a little manger. Because the Savior had been born. As soon as the Savior was born, it says, as you read in Luke chapter 2, that the angel went and announced it. The angel went to Caesar's palace? No. Did the angel go to all the people that were staying in those little rooms in the inns? No. Did the angels, it talks about angel, then it says angels. There was a bunch of them, people. Didn't go to the palaces, didn't go to the most important places of government at that time. But the angels went to the shepherds. Jesus is our great shepherd. He leads us and guides us. They go to the shepherds and they announce that the Savior has been born. We don't know, honestly. We know this. The shepherds took it and received it. Yes, he's born. We don't know. Just speculation. If those angels would have went to Caesar's house, we know he was trying to kill Jesus anyway. Open to any government official of hierarchy, and they would announce the Savior has been born if they would have received it. But those shepherds in the fields that were shepherding their sheep, as the angel came and announced it, they received it. You might say, well, how do you know, Pastor? Because they did something automatically. This is something that's amazing. They left their sheep. They left their sheep. This is what I think. Now, this is not in the word, so I'm going to let you know. This is what I think. There were angels that announced it. And as the shepherds left their sheep to go to the manger, I think some of those angels took care of those sheep. God takes care. Now, that's just speculation. You might say, yeah, yeah. Somebody say, oh, Pastor, you're going off in. Sounds good, she said. All right. And those shepherds came to that little boy to see the great shepherd, our shepherd that was born. They bowed their knee before him and worshiped him. You know what? They didn't have anything to give him. But they said, you see the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. That means it was poor mentality. Poor, swaddling clothes. That's just pieces of material just torn to pieces. That he was wrapped in poor mentality. As far as, you know, the material used to wrap that baby. Poor. They came and they bowed and they worshiped the King of Kings. They couldn't bring them frankincense, gold, or myrrh, but they brought themselves and they bowed before him. Jesus has given a lot for us, people. He was born for us, being vulnerable to this earth. You might say, well, what about the wise men? They say, we say three. It doesn't say three wise men in the Bible. The wise men, and I know we set it up and that's how it is, and it's okay. But the wise men came later, probably a year or two later, and brought them those gifts. And it could have been more than three. We just say three because we talk about three gifts. And that's okay. Don't get off hinged about little things like that. That doesn't make a difference. If two had gold and three had frankincense, it doesn't matter. Okay, it doesn't matter, but they brought it to him. God took care of Mary and Joseph financially with those gifts. When you do the will of the Father, he will take care of you and I. I'm telling you. When you take care of the church, you take care of the body of Christ, you do what God says and you obey him. My Lord, it's not easy at times. But I tell you what, God will take care of you. Amen. He will do whatever it takes. He's the one that can move a mountain if he wants to, if it helps you. He's the one that can do whatever it takes in your life. But Jesus came for us. Emmanuel, God with us. And you know the other thing about this? Jesus didn't have to do it. But the Father turned to the Son and said, there's no other way. Would you accomplish this? He had no sin nature in him at all. He didn't get anything from Adam, anything from Eve. Mary and Joseph. He didn't get, let's go back. Adam, Mary and Joseph. He didn't get anything from them. But the Holy Ghost was in her and helping her. Thursday's Christmas, people. I mean, probably many of us have done Christmas stuff already, you know, or going to do Christmas stuff and be. Don't look at the negatives of the family and all that stuff. Don't look at that. Look at the positive. Look at the positive. And it may hurt at times, but you look at the positive, especially people we've lost, not here anymore. But thank God one day we'll celebrate with them, with Jesus Christ, my Lord. I pray you have a great Christmas. Thursday, eat a great meal, do whatever, go eat out, spend time with the family, open gifts, whatever all that stuff is. And enjoy it. And thank God for what you have, not for what you don't have. Don't look at the glass half empty. Amen. Look at it as half full. Thank you, Lord. I have something to drink. Amen. Half full. And God can add to that half full glass. Amen. Oh, my Lord. 2026 might be the year for you that God will open up as we let him do the mighty surgeries that he needs to do in us. Taking out things that need to be taken out. Opening up ministries like we've never seen before. But that's the power of the Holy Spirit. Keep your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. Amen.